Have you ever seen a 3D movie? Aren't those cool? You know, you put on those funny little glasses, and it looks like stuff's flying at you and flying by you and over you, and it's cool. You know, those, I know things have changed a lot, really, real quickly in the last 10 years or so, things have changed a lot, but used to be when you went to see a 3D movie, you had to get those glasses when you walked into the theater. One side was red and one side was green, right? And as long as you had those glasses on, you could kind of use your imagination and you could kind of figure out what they were wanting you to see up there, and it was fun. But if you took the glasses off, things looked really weird. You remember they had kind of a shadow on one side and kind of a, I don't know, you call it an outline or a shadow on the other side. And it was kind of fuzzy, you know, like when I try to read a book without my glasses. It's just kind of funny looking, kind of fuzzy. Well, this morning, I want us to get a 3D look at discipleship. Because I think that most of us see Christian discipleship as a 3D movie without the glasses. For most of us, Christian discipleship is just kind of fuzzy. You know, it's something that I want to be involved in. I want to be a part of. I want to be a disciple, but I'm not sure how to focus that and how to make it look the way it's supposed to look. Well, most of us, I think, enjoy the kind of the colors and the music, but we miss the depth of discipleship. We miss the width of discipleship. For so many of us, Christianity is our religion. It's either the religion we chose or the one that our family chose for us, but it's, for most of us, many of us, Christianity is our religion. I want us to get a better view of the depth and width, the multi-dimensions of real Christian discipleship. Peter Marshall was speaking about us. He was speaking about modern Christians. And he said, they are like deep sea divers encased in suits designed for many fathoms deep, marching bravely forth to pull plugs out of bathtubs. We've got all these resources, and yet most of us stay so shallow for far too long. Well, let's change that. Let's put on our glasses and let's see discipleship more fully. Let's see it in some of its dimensions. We're going to take a 3D look at discipleship. The first D is dependence. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 8. Ephesians is in the New Testament. 1 and 2 Corinthians are big books. Go just a little bit farther past the two big books, and you'll find Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. The first D, the first dimension of Christian discipleship is dependence. In Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 8, we read, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. By grace you have been saved through faith. The way we receive salvation is when God decides to gift it to us. We are saved by grace. He decides to give us a gift. That's what grace is. And the way we receive that gift is through faith. Faith is saying, I believe that you are giving me a gift, and I believe you are worthy of the gift you're giving me, and I receive it so that I can trust you in it. We are saved by grace through faith. And Paul says, since we are saved by grace through faith, that means that none of us can brag about it, because none of us had anything to do with it. You cannot earn your own salvation. You can't be good enough for it. You see, the Christian life begins here. The Christian life begins at salvation. And because of that, the Christian life begins with dependence on Christ. The only way we can become a Christian is to depend on Him. And that continues throughout the rest of eternity. We must continue to depend on Him. You can do a lot of things for yourself. Sure, you can teach yourself. You can better yourself. You can help yourself. You can treat yourself. You can love yourself. But one thing you can't do for yourself, you can't save yourself. We are saved by grace through faith. We must depend on Him. That's how it starts. And you know what happens when we first get saved? We start looking at this Christian stuff, this Christian life, and we think, man, this is easy. I got this. This is wonderful. This Christianity thing changed me. I feel so good. This is easy. And then it's not long till we say, you know, this Christianity stuff, this is kind of hard. This discipleship thing, this obedience thing, this becoming like Jesus, this is kind of hard. And then eventually we reach the point in our maturity where we say, dead gum, this is impossible. And you know what? When you reach that point, you are where God can really start doing something in you. As long as you're thinking, I got this, I can handle it, you're in a dangerous spot, my friend. But when you can say, only by God's grace can I become more like Christ. Only by faith in Him can I grow in Him. It is only by grace through faith that I was saved, and that's the only way I'm going to make it from now on. That's real Christian maturity. That's where discipleship begins, is at the point of dependence. As your view of this 3D look at discipleship begins to come a little bit more in focus, you notice that it's got to begin with dependence. Ephesians chapter 6 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong not in your own opinions, not in your own feelings. Be strong not in your own abilities or talents. Be strong in the Lord. That's where you find your strength. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. You see, the way we become strong is by depending on Him. The first facet of discipleship that deserves our attention is dependence. When we really depend on Him, He becomes strong in our weakness. A long time ago, there was a woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales. When electricity became available in her area, she had it installed in her home. However, the electric company watched over a few months, and it looked like she wasn't really using the electricity hardly at all. There was just a very little bit that was showing up that she was actually using. And so they thought, well, maybe something's wrong. Maybe when we connected it all and hooked it all up, it didn't work right. And this poor lady is out here in this valley, and she's not really got electricity. So they went out to see her, and they said, you know, we've checked your meter. It doesn't seem that you're using much electricity. Is there a problem? And she said, oh, no, there's no problem. We're quite satisfied. We turn on the electric lights every night to see how to light our oil lamps. And then we switch them off again. All that power right there at her disposal, all that energy ready to be used. And yet she settled for the same old oil lamp she's always known. I wonder how many of us go through life day, go through life day after day with the energy, the power, the strength of all the universe here ready to take care of us. And yet we say, I got this. I don't need it. I got it all together. I am, after all, a Texan. I can handle it. And I wonder how many of us just live our days almost ignoring the power of Almighty God who wants to be at work in our lives. The first D in this 3D look is dependence. We learn that we need Him. We learn to trust Him. Paul understood depending on the Holy Spirit. And so he says, he tells the story of the thorn in his flesh. He kept asking God that it would be removed, and for some reason it wasn't. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Folks, it is when we are at our weakest time that we are reminded of this most important truth. And that is that when we are at our weakest, we realize just how strong our God really is. He says to us when we need to hear it the most, my grace is sufficient. In other words, God says in His own way, I got this. I got this. My grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected. It is complete because you finally turn it on and use it. That's what makes it perfected. My power is perfected in you in your weakness. We depend on Him. The second dimension of discipleship that I want us to look at is discipline. Dependence is first. True discipleship includes dependence, but it also includes the second dimension, discipline. It's just the basic everyday exercises. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You're already in Ephesians, just turn to the right a few pages. You'll find Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Now that you've received it, work it out. Notice that word work. Work is not involved when you get saved. Remember, that's by grace through faith. But once you are saved, work becomes a part of the experience. He says, work out that salvation. You receive salvation as a free gift, but once you have that gift, then you work it out in your life. You do the work necessary to make it become a part of who you are. It's the everyday exercises of discipleship. Reading and learning the Bible. Praying, spending time with God. Attending and participating in worship and Bible study with other Christians. Telling folks about your faith. Tithing. It is the everyday work of becoming a disciple. I've been debating if I was going to do this or not, and I've decided I'm going to. So you'll just have to suffer through it. I took piano lessons when I was a kid. You didn't know that. Probably about 10 years worth of piano lessons. 4 different teachers. We'll talk one of these days about why I had to move from one to another, but probably about 10 years of piano lessons. You didn't know that I could. I'm going to show you what I can do. Now, you understand, that is not just a sample of what I can do. That is what I can do. That's it. Probably a decade or so of piano lessons, and that's it. Why? Because I didn't like the piano. I didn't practice. I didn't stay with it. I didn't care enough. And without practice, every day, it kind of goes away. Whatever little bit you did learn, you lose. How do you become a great athlete? You work out. You practice. It's the everyday working out of your commitment. How do you become a great musician? Not like that. How do you become a great musician? You practice. You work on it. It's the working out of your commitment. You see, real discipleship begins with dependence, but then it continues in this other dimension of discipline. You ever notice that disciple and discipline are the same word? In order to be a real disciple, we must have discipline. You know, I used to struggle with these two things. I used to struggle between dependence and discipline. How to let him do everything and still do what I'm supposed to do. You know I'm supposed to trust him to work out my problems. I'm supposed to let him be strong in my weakness. I'm supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm supposed to allow Christ to live through me. But I also know that Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." That means I've got to read it, study it, learn it, and memorize it. I also know that Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So I need to be praying. I know that Hebrews says not to forsake the assembling together as some do. I need to be with my Christian brothers and sisters. I know the Great Commission tells me to go and to teach and to tell and to baptize. I know that that Scripture teaches me to be a cheerful giver. So how do I balance these two things? On the one hand, I know that I'm supposed to let God work and move in my life. And then at the other side, I know Scripture tells me there are things I'm supposed to do. So is it dependence or is it discipline? And the answer is, it is both. They are not two different things. They are two dimensions of real discipleship. See, the true disciple doesn't just let go and let God. The way you let God move and work in your life is through discipline. Being willing to discipline yourself to learn to depend on Him. How does He work through us? How does He bring us strength? How does He do all those things in us that we can't do for ourselves? He does that when we open the door for it by reading His Word, praying, attending worship, attending Bible study, serving Him faithfully, teaching others, baptizing, etc., etc., etc. You see, the way that we learn to depend is through the discipline. And the way we continue the discipline is we depend on Him. Two dimensions of real discipleship. And yet they are so different. Well, when you look at a three-dimensional object, height is very different from width, and yet you got to have both of them. These two dimensions make up discipleship. But there's two there. What holds those two together? I need to depend. I need to have discipline. What holds all that together? I'm so glad you asked, because that takes us to the third D, which is devotion. What holds my dependence on Him and my discipline, what holds that together in my life is my devotion for Him. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 29. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 29. Some scribes came up to Jesus and they were arguing, and they recognized Jesus as the teacher He was. And so they said, "Hey, Jesus, which commandment is most important out of all the commandments we have? Which is the most important?" And He says in Mark 12 at 29, Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to Him, 'Right, teacher, you have truly stated that He is one, and there is no one else besides Him, and to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" How do I depend on Him? Because I love Him. How do I do the discipline necessary to grow in Him? Because I love Him. It is my devotion for God that ties those two things together. It is that third dimension that makes it all come into focus and makes it all work together. I love Lisa and Ashley. Because I love them, I want to be with them. I really don't understand folks who like to take vacations from their family. It's just not a part of my experience, because I want to be with my family. I like it. I love them, and I don't get tired of them. I rely on them. I depend on them. When we really love God with all we've got, we want to be with Him. We like being with Him. We look forward to that time spent in prayer and Bible study and learning. We look forward to the disciplines because it's a time that we can be with Him. We look forward to depending on Him because we know we can rely on Him. When we love God with all that we've got, the discipline and the dependence take care of themselves. Matthew chapter 10 at 37 says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." God says, your love must be first for me. That's what He says in the commandment. And then Jesus says, if you're really true, if you're really committed to being my disciple, you got to make sure that I'm the one you love more than anyone else. It's devotion that ties it all together. In Psalm 37 at verse 4, we read, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourselves in the Lord. What makes you happy? When you love God with all that you've got, what makes you happy is being with Him, serving Him, pleasing Him. And when you delight yourself in Him, you'll wind up seeing that He gives you the desires of your heart. Those desires are focused on Him, and in your relationship with Him, they become fulfilled. Devotion is what holds it all together. Paul Powell tells the story of a well-known preacher from years ago. His name was Carter Jones. Carter had a small room in the attic of his home that he used as a place of prayer. And when he was especially burdened, he would make his way up the winding staircase to that room to spend some quiet moments with God. The members of his family knew that when he went to that attic room for prayer, they were not to bother him under any circumstances. One day, under some heavy burdens, he climbed the stairs, went into the room, and knelt beside the chair to pray. But he had hardly started his prayer when the door swung open, and there stood his little girl. The moment his eyes met hers, she knew she had done wrong. She knew she shouldn't be there. But she said, "Daddy, you've been so busy lately. I haven't seen you much. And I just wanted to tell you that I love you." With that, she threw her arms around her father's neck, gave him a big hug, wheeled around, and was gone as quickly as she had come. Still on his knees by that old chair, Carter wiped a tear from his eye, and he said, "Father, I've been so busy lately, I haven't had much time for you. I just want to tell you again that I love you." Do you? Do you love God? Think it through. I'm not asking, do you believe in Him? I'm not even asking, are you willing to serve Him? I'm asking, do you love Him? Because I tell you what, without that love, without that devotion, we lose the discipline. We lose the dependence. And we kind of go through this Christian experience in a fog. The thing that makes it work is when we really love Him with all we've got. Our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Look on the cover of your worship folder this morning. You see quoted there Mark 8:34. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That is the ultimate description of Christian discipleship. If you're going to be mine, you're going to be a disciple, here's what it takes. If anyone would come after me, you're going to be mine. Here's what it takes. He must deny himself, dependence. Take up his cross, discipline. And follow me, devotion. It takes the 3D look to get a clear understanding of real discipleship. You look at your life and you say, why aren't I growing spiritually? Why have I kind of stayed where I was for so long? Why, how come I'm not closer to Christ? Why aren't I experiencing the abundant life? How come I'm not where I need to be? I can guarantee you, it's because one of the dimensions is weak or missing. It's either that you're not depending on Him, or it's a lack of discipline on your part, or it's that you haven't really completely, totally fallen in love with an Almighty God.